Mrs. Frazier and Mrs. Combs. You know, I've never figured out how somebody can play the piano and sing at the same time. I can barely drink and eat and talk and all that kind of stuff. I do them one at a time, though. But thank you, ladies. Had a great special, and appreciate your effort there. You know, it's always a joy to be able to come to church, and I hope that you enjoy reading your Bible as much as I enjoy reading mine. Every time I read the Bible, I always find something there that's profitable. And I always find out that there are things there that I knew about, but I just don't practice. And that's what I'm going to preach to you tonight. I'm going to preach to you tonight about burden bearing. You know, it's not that I didn't know about it. It's just that a lot of times we just don't practice it. And it's an opportunity. It's a ministry for every Christian in the church. And it's a ministry that all of us should be participating in tonight. So take your Bible, two passages of Scripture, Galatians 6, Matthew 11. Galatians chapter 6, Matthew chapter number 11. Now once you find your place there, Galatians chapter 6, if you'll stand, I'll tell you how this sermon came about. Galatians chapter 6, we'll begin reading verse 1 in just a moment. About a month and a half ago, I was out here in the parking lot when our Christian Academy let out. And I began to watch as the kids began to file out and head toward their car and mom's picking the kids up. And I noticed about two-thirds of the kids had a backpack on their back with, I guess, every book that they ever owned in the back of it. Because half of them had the backpack on their back, and in order to get to the car, to keep all the weight, they were walking sideways like this. And they had a lunchbox in one hand, other books, and a backpack. I'm telling you, I'm surprised they got the thing zipped. It was so full. And they were walking sideways, and little kids were dragging them. And I began to watch those kids, and then I saw Micah come out, and so I walked down there, and he was one of those walking sideways, trying to keep his backpack balanced on his back. And I walked down there and I said, here, let me have the backpack. And you know the amazing thing is once I took the backpack, he straightened up. And he began to walk with a little bit more crisper step. And he began to walk a little more freely once the burden, the heaviness was lifted. But you know the thing about it is I could have sat there and watched him walk all the way and everything would have been fine and he'd still walk crooked and he's probably going to have to go to a chiropractor as it is now anyway. But isn't that amazing how that you sit there and you don't think about those things, and yet there are many, many people in this auditorium that are walking that way. And you know what they need? They need somebody to come and take that burden and pick that burden up from them so they can walk a little bit crisper for the Lord, so that they can go a little bit faster, a little bit more in the direction the Lord would want them to go. And I believe the Scripture teaches us that that's a ministry that every believer in this church ought to be participating in. Now, I want you to notice, if you would, in Galatians chapter 6 now tonight, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, brethren. Anytime, those of you that are new, anytime you see the word brethren, automatically talking to believers, automatically talking to Christian people, and many times he's talking about brethren, he's addressing the church. And I want you to notice he says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one, in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now notice in verse number 2, he says, bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Now, you look at verse number 5, and you look at verse number 2, and if you didn't know the context or the previous verse, you'd think, well, there's a contradictory. It's not a contradictory at all. Because you're supposed to be doing both of them, and the Bible teaches both of them simultaneously. And we're going to learn here how that you can bear your own burden and yet bear another's burden at the same time. Now, what I want you to notice here tonight is this. That when beginning in Galatians chapter 6, go read the chapter prior to that, and he's concluding the chapter about walking in the Spirit, being led of the Spirit, living in the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, and then he just goes right in. Now, brethren, now after he's taught us about what it's all about walking, being led, and living in the Spirit, he tells us about burden bearing. Isn't that amazing? It kind of sounds to me like this thing may be spiritual. Kind of sounds to me like there may be something spiritual about this thing about burden bearing, and it may be that this is God's will for everybody in this room here tonight. And let me tell you how I know I believe this is God's will. Take your Bible now and go to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, if you would please. We're going to begin reading in verse 28. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28. Now, this is not going to be anything that verses that you haven't heard before. Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 28. Jesus speaking. And listen to what he says. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Kind of sounds to me like he's talking about those of you that have tremendous burdens. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And he says, I will. Didn't say the church will. Didn't say the church member would. Didn't say the pastor or the staff member. He said, I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Look at verse 30. He says, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, it sounds to me like he wants to do some exchanging here. He says, I carry a light burden. He says, many of you are heavy laden. You're weighted down with the cares of this world or the cares of your life. And it sounds to me like Jesus wants to do some swapping here. To swap your heavy laden, your heavy burdens for His light burden. And so I want to talk to you tonight and preach to you about this thing of burden bearing. Now, Father, we thank you for the privilege of being able to read the Bible. And Lord, what's contained in this book, there's no way a man could preach day and night, 24 hours a day for the rest of his life, and never cover the principles taught in this book. And yet, Lord, we have tonight just tremendous opportunities to serve, tremendous opportunities in the church to be a blessing. And Lord, we want to find out what those principles are, put them to practice, so that we can fulfill the will and perfect will of God for our life. Have your will in all things tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, many of you have heard the word burden tossed around in the context of church. But may I say to you tonight that all believers ought to have certain burdens. Number one, you ought to have a burden for the lost. Every Christian ought to bear the burden of the lost. That people are dying and going to hell. Some of you got lost relatives. Some of you got a lost mom or a lost daddy. You know what? You need to bear that burden for them. And we're going to learn here in just a little bit some things that the good part of burden bearing, why God allows these things to come in our life, but burden for the lost. Every believer ought to have a burden for lost people. Number two, every believer ought to have a burden for their church. Every believer ought to have a burden for their church. They ought to have a burden for the pastor. They ought to have a burden for the ministries. They ought to have a burden for the finances. They ought to have a burden for every aspect of the church. Folks, I don't know about you, for most of you in this room, look at me. This is your family. This is your family. Some of you, this is all you got. We ought to have a burden for the church, for the pastor, for its finances, and all the aspects of the ministries. Number three, we ought to have a burden for missions. We ought to not only have a burden for lost people, we ought to have a burden for missions, to see God calling people out of the church and sending them worldwide to evangelize. You ought to have a burden for that. You ought to carry a heavy load. That's what the burden means. It means something carried, something weighed down. Hey, I like this right here. It's something so heavy as to motivate one to action. That's what a burden is. You see, when you have a burden for lost, it ought to motivate you to go win some of them. When you got a burden for the church, it ought to motivate you to have a burden and please the pastor and work in the ministries and give to the finances of the church. You got a burden for mission, you would think it'd provoke you to give to missions. Or maybe even consider being in missions. You see, I'm just saying, there a lot of people ought to have burden. Hey, listen, you know what else you ought to have burden for? You ought to have burden for heaven. I want to have a burden for that for. I don't know about you, but I've read a lot about heaven and a lot of good things there. And since there's a lot of good things there, that's heavy on me because, listen, I have a desire to go there. Now, listen, Paul said it's not needful yet for him to go. And for most of you, it's not time. You're not checking out yet. It's time. It's better. It's more needful for you to be here. Why? There's people, family members, ministries that need you. This church needs you. Your pastor needs you. Your family needs you. But you still ought to have a burden for heaven. I carry that. I like that. Simply because I think about it quite often. But every Christian ought to have burdens such as these. Now, in Scripture, we find out that burden bearing is twofold. So turn back, if you would, to Galatians chapter 6 with me, if you would, please. Galatians chapter 6. All right, Galatians chapter 6. Now look in verse number 2. You say, why did God give us the order in which the burden bearing was to take place? Well, I'm here to tell you tonight, He gave it in the exact order that He wanted it in. The very first thing He says in verse number 2, He says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And we're going to look at that in just a moment. But may I say to you, that according to the instructions of Scripture, as a Christian, I ought to be willing to carry the weight of others' needs and problems upon myself. I ought to be looking for opportunities, see. But the thing about it is, I don't know what those are unless I talk. See, the thing about it is, we're too quick to get to church and too quick to leave. So we never find out what's going on with people. And that's a reason, listen, we miss out on a blessing of bearing one another's burdens. Now, keep your place there. Turn back, if you would, to Romans chapter 15. Turn to Romans chapter 15, if you would, please. Let me show you something. Romans chapter 15, and verse number 1. All right, Romans chapter 15, verse number 1. Paul says, we then that are strong. Now, this is an interesting word the Holy Spirit put here. He says, we then that are strong ought. Now listen carefully now. He said we ought to bear. He didn't say everybody in the church was going to do it. He said, but you ought to. He says we ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. And not to please ourselves, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Kind of sounds right here that there are going to be some in the church who are not going to do and follow through with this thing of burden bearing and be able to bear their own burdens. Now listen very carefully. The Scripture is very plain. It says, we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. You say, well, why don't people bear their own burdens? Well, it may be because maybe they're just immature spiritually. Maybe they don't know everything about the Scriptures and how to go about that. They may be immature. Number two, they may be under flesh control. Or number three, they may be just ignorant about things. May I say number four, they may be in grief over things. And let me tell you something. These things tend to block some things in our life when it comes to this thing of bearing burdens. So you know what we need to do? We need to be looking. We need to have our eyes and ears open, looking for opportunities to follow through and complete this principle that Scripture has for us. Now, did you notice, go back to Galatians chapter 2, did you notice it says, bear ye one another's and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, let me just say this while you're turning to John chapter 13 for just a moment. Take your Bible, go to John chapter 13, and I'll catch up with you there in just a second. Don't turn there. Let me just tell you quickly. In Numbers chapter 11, remember Moses cried out to the Lord, and he says, "Why? Why have you allowed me to carry the burden of this people, of the nation of Israel?" He was carrying a heavy, heavy burden for millions of people, judging them. And out of the grace of God, you know what the Lord said? The Lord said, "Okay, tell you what we're going to do." He says, "What we're going to do is we're going to gather some men together, and I will empower them so that they can bear that with you, so that you're not left alone to bear this burden by yourself." And so he did. And listen, that's kind of the same principle that we're supposed to be operating under here in the church. Now listen very carefully. The Scripture says that we're going to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Let me read you a couple of Scriptures here. John chapter 13, if you'll find your place there, and verse number 14. John 13 and verse number 14. Jesus speaking here tells his disciples, "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example," listen to this, "that ye should do as I have done to you." You know what he's teaching them there? He's teaching to keep your eyeballs open, because there are other believers that have needs, that have burdens. And you know what he said? He says, "You need to be looking for them." He says, "I've given you an example of servitude. You need to keep your eyes open for others and other believers so that you can do likewise." And look in verse number 34. He goes on to say, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. But this shall all men know," or "by this shall all men know, that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another." Now folks, we're a church family. And this is a family of believers. And the Scripture is very plain. He says, "But by bearing one another's burdens, you will be fulfilling the law of Christ." That law is servitude and love. That's exactly what he just taught them. And that servitude and that love that we're supposed to be and have for one another is going to have to be in this area of bearing the weights of others. You say, "But I got my own." That leads me to the second thing here, and this is the second part. Go back to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 5. Galatians 6 and verse number 5. Okay, Galatians 6 and verse number 5. All right, here's what he says. He says, "Not only should we be bearing one another's burdens," and then he says, "for every man shall bear his own burden." Now listen, I'm not going to get into theological ideas and thoughts about this verse, and there are multiple. But I want to make an application here tonight to this about bearing your own burden. First of all, every person, listen to me, every person in here is going to have to bear the burden of sin. Every person in here. Hey, let me tell you something. This old flesh and stuff, does yours rebel like mine does? Does it not want to do right? Does it want to do things that it shouldn't be doing? You have to slap the fire out of it about 20 times a day? You know what that is? You're going to have to bear that burden, my friend. You're going to have to bear the burden of sin. Listen, you know what? If the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7 gave us an illustration of how he had to bear that, I have a sneaky suspicion most of us are going to have to do the same thing. He said, "Man, there are things I want to do and I won't do them." He said, "There's things that I shouldn't do that I do." You know, every time I read that, we just scratch those eyes out and put your name in there. Because he battled the same thing. He had to bear the burden of sin. You know, Psalm chapter 38, verse number 4, listen to what the Scripture says. The Scripture says, "Mine iniquities are gone over my head." You know what that means? That means sometimes we're drowning in them. And we've got to find out, hey, these are burdens that I'm going to fight this battle every day. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 4 says this, "We that are in this tabernacle do groan," listen now, "being burdened." I'm stuck in this body. And listen, I hate it, I want to be glorified, but that ain't going to happen. That ain't going to happen until I see the Lord, according to 1 John 3:1. I'm not going to be able to, this body is not going to be changed into immortality until I see Him. And to be honest with you, I'm just not quite ready to go yet. I don't know about you, but I'm just not looking forward to it. But let me tell you this. The Scripture is very plain that, listen, there's some burdens that we're going to have to bear. We're going to have to bear the burden of sin. May I say, secondly, you're going to have to bear the burden of responsibility. You're going to have to bear the burden of responsibility. Take your Bible, go to Psalm 51, if you would, please. Let me show you somebody that bore this burden of responsibility. Psalm 51. All right, quickly there, Psalm 51. Look, if you would, in verse number 1. David writing here says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash me throughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin." Listen now. He says, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." Now, I'm just simply saying to you that here's a man, David, that was willing to bear the burden of responsibility. He wasn't trying to point any fingers at anybody and say, "It's your fault." He said, No, I did this. I did this. And he says, "My sin is ever, ever before me." It'll never be wiped from his conscience. You know why? He's going to have to bear that burden, that scar, the rest of his life. Now, I'm just saying to you, how can it be done? You said, "Brother Todd, how can I bear my own burdens and also practice bearing the burdens of others?" Well, I'm glad you asked, because I want to give you an illustration here of what I believe the Lord was teaching the disciples in Matthew chapter number 11. Now, I'm going to use these very same backpacks that I saw some of these kids carrying. All right? Now, Micah, come here just for a second. This is his. He's the one that had that crick in his back. Now, he's got in this backpack just about every book the academy owns, I guess, in this backpack. Okay, throw that backpack on right there. Now, take your Bible, go to Matthew chapter 11, and let's find out what Jesus was teaching his disciples. Matthew chapter 11. All right, Matthew chapter 11. Find your place there. Matthew 11, verse number 28. Matthew 11, verse number 28. Jesus said, "Come unto who?" He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Now listen very carefully. In Micah's backpack back here, he's got a lot of things that many of you have. He's got the burdens of sin. He's got in here the burden of responsibility. And may I say also that there are multiple other burdens that we don't have time to talk about tonight that you're carrying, that you're holding on to. And listen, here's what the Lord said. He said, "You're heavy laden." Look what the rest of the Scripture says. All right? He says, "Now, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls." He says, "For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Now listen very carefully. Here's the principle. You bear your burdens, the burden of sin, the burden of responsibility. Now, I want you to notice, Jesus said, "I'm willing to make an exchange for you." Okay? Nothing in here and nothing in here. He says, "My burden is light." He says, "If you're going to do for me what I need you to do and be in the church, you're going to have to give me these, and I will give you this." Okay, he says, "Take my yoke upon you." He says, "My burden is light." So you know what he says? Listen to me now. What he says, what he's saying here in Scripture, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7. He says, "Casting all your care upon me, upon him, for he careth for you." So he knows that you can't be what he needs you to be in the church if you're carrying your own burdens. So he says, "Cast those upon me. I'll take your heavy burden and I'll give you my light burden. Take my yoke upon you." Now, listen very carefully. So here's what he does. All right, put that on, Micah. Here we go. So Micah gives his burdens to the Lord. The Lord says, thank you very much, here's mine. Micah don't have to walk crooked anymore. This is light. He can walk with a hop in his step. So you know what he does? He comes to church. Here we go. Follow me. Okay, we come down here. We're sitting here talking to Brother James. Brother James has a need, and he says, well, listen, let's pray about that right now. So you know what he does? He takes on part of James's burden. All right? So he comes over here. He sees Brother Derek, and he's talking to Derek. Derek says, boy, I tell you one thing, I had a hard day. This, that, and the other things going on. So Micah says, well, listen, I tell you what, let's pray about that right now. And so you know what he does? He takes on some of Derek's burden. So he moves on, and he goes from person to person. Now listen, you know how he's finding out about this? Because he talks to people. Because he fellowships with people. So you know what he does? He looks over here, he says, look at there. There's Mrs. Z. Come on, Micah. So he sees Mrs. Z back here, and he says, boy, I tell you, she's got to have a heavy burden. So he comes back here to Mrs. Z, and he says, Mrs. Z, God bless you. He said, I prayed for you today. Now listen to what he's saying. Mrs. Z don't have one book. She got two books, all right? So she's got a heavy burden. So you know what he's done? He's picked up some more. So then he looks over the other side of the tournament. He says, hey, fine, there you are. So he sees him way over the other side over here. So he makes his way all the way over here. Now, we're not going to walk over this far. But he looks over there and he goes in and he encourages Brother Fine. He says, man, listen, I heard the good news. He says, man, God is good. He says, let me tell you something. I prayed for you today. So you know what he does? He takes on some more burdens. He takes on some Fine's burdens. We got lots of burdens in here. Okay? Now listen to me. He fills his sack, his burden backpack up. All right? He fills it up. See if we're going to get this zipped. Maybe, maybe not. There we go. All right, Micah, let's go back up here. All right. So now listen to me. He goes home that night. He comes home on Wednesday night from church and he's loaded. You know what he's loaded with? Not his burdens, but the burdens of everybody else. So you know what he does? He goes in before the Lord and he says, Lord, man, we got a lot of folks at church that have some needs. And so here's what he does. He says, Lord, would you take these burdens and meet the needs of those people at church? So you know what he does? The Lord says, cast all your care upon me, for I care for you. So you know what he does? He gives him another one. And God says, good, all right, here, I got you another. All right. Now, so Micah says, whew, boy, so you know what he does? He comes church Sunday morning. Here we go. He comes church Sunday morning, and he's looking around. He sees Brother Sal over here. So he goes to Brother Sal, and he says, man, Brother Sal, I prayed for you this week. He says, how are things? Brother Sal said, man, I'll tell you one thing, Micah. I've been having a hard week. And he said, well, let's tell you what, let's pray about that right now. And so what he does is he prays. You know what he does? He takes on some of Sal's burdens. Now listen. Okay, come back up here, Micah. He goes from service to service to service like this. And every day, you know what he does? He dumps the burdens and picks up a light one. Now listen to me. Let me tell you why some of you come to church and you come and you leave. It's because you never unload. You never unload any of this. So you know what you do? You tank up. And you come to church like this. And let me tell you something. Can I say this to you? These things affect your countenance. They affect your spirit. And so we come to church with all these burdens on us, and not one time do we cast these cares on the Lord. And He's pleading with you, take my yoke upon you. My burden's light. And every time you cast those burdens on Him, you know what He does? He gives you an empty one. And you do that constantly, over and over and over. All right, thank you, Micah. Now, that's the principle. Let me give you the things, what it does, what burden bearing does for us. All right, and I'm going to be quick because I've got to be done here in a second. All right, here's what it does. Turn your Bible to Luke chapter 10. All right, Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Look, if you would, in verse 30, you'll recognize this. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, for those of you that are new to our church, this is a story that we call the Good Samaritan. What happens? This guy goes down He's robbed. He's beat to half dead. A priest walks by, sees him, does nothing for him. A Levite walks by, sees him, does nothing for him. A Samaritan, who is the lowliest of that day of human beings, walks by and sees him. Now notice what it says in verse, let me just underline some phrases here. It says, but a certain Samaritan. Now listen to me, church. Listen to me very carefully. Do you understand that you are a certain church member? And the Bible says that that Samaritan, look if you would in verse 33, saw him. See, we come to church, we don't look. We don't look up. Now, when we come to church, we look at what we want to look at. And we look at ourselves, but we don't look around. The Bible says, you know what the Samaritan, he saw him. Now, wait a minute, it's not done. He says, then, once he saw, he had compassion on him. Look in verse 34, and he went to him. Look, if you would, and bound up his wounds. Look, down, if you would, about halfway down verse 34, and brought him to an end, and took care of him. In verse 30-35, it says, and gave them to the host. He not only took care of him, he gave, he bound him, he went to him, he had compassion on him, he saw him, and it all started with a certain Samaritan. I'm just here tonight to say, everyone, if you're one of them certain church members. Now here's what burden bearing does. Number one, it builds friendships. It builds friendships. Now, this is sad, folks, but years ago, I read an article, and you've probably heard me say this 100 times, but I read an article years ago that said a person will live and die and have less than 5 true friends in their entire lifetime. Now, you know what that ought to be? That ought to be an indictment against Christianity, because we need to be making friends. It's sad when somebody on one side of the auditorium don't know somebody on the other side of the auditorium, because they don't ever catch them in the foyer. Hey, listen. I found out that if the Lord lays somebody on your heart before church, He probably wants you to go to them because He wants you to, there's a burden there to bear. He says, listen, I want you to talk to them, catch them out in the foyer, find out what's going on, ask them. Now, it builds friendships. Let me give you a couple of scriptures to go with this. Proverbs 18, remember this? The scripture says, he that hath friends must show himself friendly. And then he goes on to say in verse 24 that there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You know what you need to be? That friend. You need to be that friend. And then Proverbs 17:17 says that a friend loveth at all times. All times. Hey, not just when they're on the mountaintop, when they fall in the gutter. He's looking. You know what he's doing? Because he's gotten the burdens off his back before he came to church Wednesday. He had already left them with the Lord. So he comes to church with an empty pouch. You know what he's looking for? He's looking for be a blessing. He's looking to carry some burdens. And he's going from pew to pew. And he's looking for somebody that needs a blessing. Now can you imagine if all of us did that? Good grief, man, we might have revival. Man, I'm telling you that there might be revival that happens if everybody just came with an empty pouch. But you know what? We don't do that because we're so self-centered. What we do is we keep our own burdens. And we come to church and we sit there with a sour look on our face. You know why? Man, this is really heavy. Oh, this is so heavy. Oh, this is so... And the Lord the whole time said, listen, I wish the Lord had thumped some of us on the head. I'm talking about one of them whacking thumps. Because folks, listen, this is something that's available to every one of us. He said, cast all your care. No strings attached. He said, give me all of them because I want you to attend church Wednesday night, Sunday morning and Sunday night, and all fellowships, I want you to attend with an empty pack, looking to be a blessing. You see, it builds friendships. By the way, doesn't 1 Corinthians 13 tell us that love beareth all things? Yeah, that's what it says. Number two, not only does it build friendships, number two, it builds strength. Philippians 4:13. How many times you quoted that? I can do all things. I can do all things. Now you stop right there, you got problems. He says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That means, you know what I've got to do? If I'm going to be a burden bearer at some point, I've got to make contact with Jesus. Because I promise you, if I'm carrying this every service, I ain't helping nobody. Because you know what I am? I'm burdened down with all the cares of this world. And I'm burdened down with my little problems, and everything becomes inward. And nothing becomes outward. And so I don't look, I don't hear, I don't talk, I don't fellowship, so I don't know what's going on. So I can't be a burden bearer if I don't know what's going on. It builds strength. Where do I get that strength from? According to the Scriptures, I get that strength from the Lord. Turn, if you would, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 for just a moment. 2 Corinthians 12, if you would, please. And I've got to hurry. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse number 9. 2 Corinthians 12, 9. One of my favorite verses in all the Bible, the Scripture says, and he said unto me, Paul says, my grace is sufficient for thee. He says, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You know where that comes from? Burden bearing. Comes with an empty backpack to church, where it comes with. So, burden bearing builds strength. Strength to serve, strength to fight quitting, strength that God needs. Hey, you know what else it does? It feeds with strength to fight and resist the devil. You ever thought about the devil trying to keep you from coming to church? Oh, no. No. Can't tonight, buddy. No, no, no. Yeah, there's all kinds of things. You don't really need to go to church. You got a fever, don't you? Well, I might have a little fever, but the Lord's laid somebody at church on my heart. And I got to go be a blessing. You know what? It'll give you strength to resist the devil. So it builds strength. Number three, it builds faith. It builds faith. I think I read somewhere in the Bible, the Scripture says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Let's go back here just a second. I load up. I come to church, and I mean I am tanked up with blessings. I'm tanked up with burdens for people. And boy, I just go and I put my hand on 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You know what? I don't have any problem doing this. There you go. Have it. Now listen. Listen, folks, we got to get beyond this thing of being afraid to do this. Don't be afraid. God says, hey, listen, I want it. Give it to me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Give it to me. No, 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 Lord. You don't understand. I don't want to bug you. I don't want to imposition you. No, I don't want to, Lord. You just don't know. Listen, He's not going to come rip it off of you. He said, you've got to do the casting. You've got to be willing to take the yoke upon you. It builds faith. Number four, it builds your prayer life. Remember Acts chapter 12? Remember Peter and John imprisoned? Now, turn that, because you need to see this just for a second. Turn to Acts chapter 12. There's a phrase there that you need to see. Acts chapter 12. Acts 12, beginning in verse number 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. Now look at this. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, delivered him to four quarternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Listen to verse 5. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing Of who? Who prayed for him? The church did. And remember, an angel of the Lord escorted him out of that prison. He goes where they were gathered, and he bangs on the door, and this little girl named Rhoda comes to the door, and she said, "Oh my goodness, he's here! He's out!" And listen, this is how spiritual we are. Oh, it. It's just his angel. You don't know what you're talking about. And he keeps, "Hey! God's answered your prayer. Shh! Go tell that bum to beat it. We're trying to pray here for Peter. Somebody go tell that bum to beat it." You know what it does? It builds your prayer life. The church prayed, and you know what? He got released. Burden bearing, you know what it'll do? It'll build your prayer life. That's what it'll do. It'll build your prayer life for others. The Scripture says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It availeth much. And then here's the last thing. Here's the last thing. Take your Bible, Psalm 5. Psalm chapter 5. Psalm chapter 5. Not only does it build friendships, it builds strength, it builds faith, it builds your prayer life. Number 5, it builds favor with God. I don't know about you, but I want to be in favor with God, don't you? So if he tells me, "Hey, you know what? You need to go bear others' burdens." Okay, Lord, I can't bear my own. That's why I said give them to me. "Oh, I can give them to you." Yeah, here, there. "Oh, man, this is really late." It won't be by the time you get home from church tonight. If we do our job, it won't be light when you get home. Now look at what he says. Psalm chapter 5 and verse number 12. Psalm 5 verse number 12. Let me get over here where I can read it. The Scripture says, "For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous." He says, "With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield." I don't know about you, that's kind of where I want to be. And you know what's available for everybody in this church? I want to have favor with God. You know what that word favor means? That means delight. That means pleasure. It kind of gives new meaning, doesn't it, when the Scripture says in Psalm 37, verse number 4, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." You know what you do when you're burden-bearing? You're delighting in the Lord. Let me give you one other one here. Proverbs 22:1. "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver or gold." Now, folks, there's some burdens we all should bear. But tonight, one little principle I wanted to get across to you. And that was a principle of not only bearing one another's burdens, but how you're going to have to go about doing that. Because if you come to church weighted down here and you haven't met with God to dump these, you're going to have a hard time being a blessing to other people. Because, boy, you get two or three of these on your back. Listen, you know what? I noticed when Micah was coming out the other day with this on his back, he wasn't smiling. He didn't come out of the school with a smile like this. You know what he was doing? He was walking like this. And you know what? I noticed, mamas, watch your kids' face when they get the same thing. They're not smiling. You know what they're doing? They're going... And that's what you're going to be if you don't dump them. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I want to thank you for the privilege.